It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Unfortunately, you know, clients and claimants that are getting into this now are facing a really difficult time at every level. The claims are taking longer. They're facing judges that are much more conservative with granting cases, even with evidence. And so it's a real fight from start to finish.
Disability attorney Bob Holub explains the problems of the Social Security disability system and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve in the first part of a two-part presentation. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn how a debt buyer faces a fine and loss of thousands of court judgments. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 256, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. In courtrooms across New York State, lawsuits poured in as if manufactured on an assembly line. Some included generic testimony. Others relied on bogus affidavits, churned out so rapidly they were seldom viewed for accuracy. The companies, which buy huge swaths of soured bills from lenders for pennies on the dollar, are deluging the court with shoddy lawsuits. As part of an effort to stamp out such practices, New York State's Attorney General Eric Schneiderman reached a settlement last week with a debt buyer, the Encore Capital Group, over concerns that the company filed thousands of flawed debt collection lawsuits against state residents. The settlement, which requires Encore to pay a $675,000 penalty and vacate more than 4,500 court judgments against borrowers, is part of a broader push by state and federal authorities to root out questionable debt collection practices. The action against Encore Capital, based in San Diego, is the latest in a series of enforcement actions Mr. Schneiderman has brought against debt buyers. In May, he reached agreements with two other large debt buyers, the PRA Group in Norfolk, Virginia, and the Sherman Financial Group based in New York. Under those deals, the companies agreed to nullify judgments valued at more than $16 million against New York residents. Between 2006 and 2009, the top nine debt buyers purchased 90 million consumer accounts valued at about $143 billion. One in seven adults in the U.S. now is being pursued by debt collectors. But unlike mortgage foreclosures, consumer debt collection cases often play out far from public view because borrowers seldom show up in court to contest the lawsuits. An estimated 95% of debt collection lawsuits result in default judgments against borrowers, an automatic victory for the debt buyers that enables them to garnish consumers' wages or freeze bank accounts. When debt buyers purchase bundles of bad loans from lenders, they often receive scant information about the accounts. Critical information, like original account statements or payment histories, are sometimes missing entirely. To fill those gulfs, some debt buyers produce affidavits that assert the accuracy of the outstanding debt without ensuring that the information was accurate, as well as suing borrowers for debts that exceed the statute of limitations. As part of its settlement, Encore Capital agreed to reform its collection practices, including alerting consumers about the statute of limitations governing debts. with this week's News You Can Use. This is your host, Marty Wegbright. The Social Security disability system is bad and getting worse. Disability attorney Bob Holub explained the problems and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve at the 2014 annual statewide Legal Aid Conference, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here are his comments.
Regardless of whether you've done a disability case or you've never heard of it, it's been in the news a lot. In fact, if you picked up the Washington Post on Sunday, there was a huge, she's nodding her head, a huge front page article damning everyone from claimant to lawyer to judges. And I expect to see a lot more of that. It's a much more difficult place for clients to get benefits now. Cases that were a no-brainer are battled much more rigorously now. And it's a real shame because there are hardworking people out there who need this money, who worked hard to pay in for this money. And, you know, quite frankly, Social Security is really only concerned about the bottom line. If you read this Washington Post article, it was just in this last Sunday's cover story, this is a real low-hanging fruit for Congress to mess with. If they can try to separate it from the retirement, Social Security retirement, and make it a low-hanging fruit, they will go after it and make things even more difficult to an already difficult system. So, unfortunately, you know, clients and claimants that are getting into this now are facing a really difficult time at every level. The claims are taking longer. They're facing judges that are much more conservative with granting cases, even with evidence. And so it's a real fight from start to finish. So with that happy picture painted, let's get into some of, you know, what is disability. And sort of the first part of this first section, this is just sort of general regulatory information. The second part goes into looking at that with the most important concept to come away from this. There are two concepts. The sequential evaluation process, which is the five steps under the regulations that disability is evaluated. You always have to have that in the back of your mind. And with that, functional limitations for your client based on their health problems. That has to be a mantra in your mind from intake, development of the case, and at the hearing. Because if you're not keeping that in mind, you will not meet the guidelines for that client based on what they're going through and what their health problems are. If you have those down cold, you will succeed at representing clients in these cases. Here's the boilerplate regulatory definition of disability. It's the inability to engage in any substantial gainful activity, work, by reason of any medically determinable physical or mental impairment which can be expected to result in death or which has lasted or can be expected to last for a period of not less than 12 months. And then further on, you'll be disabled if you cannot do your past work and, considering your age, education, and vocational work experience, engage in any other work, substantial work, which exists in the national economy. And that's it. That's disability. Here's it. I'm going to break it out a little bit. There's a 12-month requirement. Now, some folks will occasionally, although not much anymore, I've had clients come to us and say, well, you know, they applied a year or 2 years later, and they said, well, I thought you had to be out of work 12 months. No. You have to be expected to be out of work 12 months. A medically determinable impairment is basically any medically diagnosed problem. You need to have a diagnosis. It needs to be a solid diagnosis, and there has to be medical treatment evidence. Medical treatment evidence is key to any disability case. And basically, the younger your claimant, the more medical evidence you need. There are a couple bright lines for disability determination. Basically, any worker under 50 faces the toughest legal standard, and workers 50 to 55 have a slightly relaxed legal standard, 55 and older, more relaxed. They're still difficult, but anybody that comes to you under 50, 18 to 50, is looking at the toughest case to prove. These are the levels of a disability claim. Your client, the claimant, will file an application with Social Security. Most can be done online at socialsecurity.gov. It's much easier, it's much faster, and Social Security prefers that. They can also get a paper application from the office. It's then reviewed with Disability Determination Services in Virginia, which is a state agency that does a medical review. If that's denied, then you can file an reconsideration appeal, step two. If that's denied, you can request a hearing before a law judge. And there are several hearing offices around the state, Norfolk, Richmond, Charlottesville, Roanoke. These are the ones I deal with. There's also one in D.C. If that's denied, it can go to the Appeals Council, which is actually based in Falls Church. If the appeal from the law judge is denied at the Appeals Council, you can file an appeal in federal district court, and I'll get more on that in a minute about the more details and statistics on these levels. But this is how far a case can go. Yes, it can go to the Fourth Circuit. You don't want to go to the Fourth Circuit. I don't ever want to go to the Fourth Circuit with a case. Okay. This is one of the cornerstones here that you'll have to really know and have down cold for any disability claim, is the sequential evaluation process. There are five steps of determination. The first step is the claimant working and engaging in substantial gainful activity? Right now, that's $1,070 gross a month. It's very important. And that can be made in any way, cash, paycheck. It can also, I've had judges do this, can be in kind. So if someone traded a car for work, that might be considered substantial gainful work. The concept is gross earnings, and problems will arise if someone's being paid in cash or under the table and they don't want to reveal to you. You got to get it out of them. And the closer that a claimant is bumping up to that 1,070, the more suspect they're going to be at Social Security. I mean, if they're working 35 hours a month, as a CNA or something like that, earning $900, you're not going to win that case because there's just no way you're going to wrap around the judge's head that they can't work a couple more hours a month with their health problems and get over $1,070 a month. Step two, does the claimant have a severe impairment or combination of impairments? That's basically any diagnosed medical problem that results in some sort of limitations, the functional limitations that I mentioned before. Step three is there's a listing of impairments. These are in the regulations that are very severe medical problems. If a client comes to you with, I mean, most cases will not be involved in the listing level. These are very severe medical problems. Most folks don't fall into this. I rarely encounter a listing level medical problem. This is, if you read the listings and look at some of the symptoms that a person would need to have, There's no question to anybody that they can work. So this is just one of the steps, but not one that you'll be fighting over very often. The fourth step of the fifth is, does the claimant have the residual functional capacity to return to his past relevant work? And what that means is, based on the medically determinable problems, can that person, based on the functional limitations from those problems, do any of the work they have done? And typically work 15 years before their application is the relevant work. So you really have to look, know, first of all, what the age of the client is and what work they did. If they had a bunch of easy, sedentary jobs, then you got your work cut out for you. If they're 55 and they hauled trash for 15 years, then you might have a better case, because if they can't haul trash, which is probably heavy or very heavy work, then there's some rules that apply that might be slightly easier to win their case if they're getting medical treatment for their problems. When someone turns 50 or 55, there are rules called the grid rules, which are a little bit antiquated. Basically, they're some regulatory escape pods, that if your client has certain work in the past that was at a very high exertional level, medium or heavy duty work, and they can only do maybe light or sedentary duty work, then these grid rules apply and you can win your case. Very, very effective if your client's going to reach age 50 or 55 or 60. I would say 90% of the time you're going to be fighting these cases at this step. Ability to perform other work. So if the medical problems for your client don't allow them to do any of their past work, they're not currently working, they have medically diagnosed problems, then the burden of proof shifts to Social Security for them to find other work. And the work is strange, to say the least. There are very outdated ideas of work. They're based on the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, which to say it's outdated is an understatement. And if you look at that Washington Post article, you'll see some of the examples. I think one involved a wagon, like a horse-drawn wagon or something. Having your client conceptualize the Social Security concept of work and their concept of work is extremely important and extremely difficult to do, but very important when having your client testify or tell you about what their medical problems and limitations are. So most of the time at a hearing, this is where the battle is. Can you prove that your client can't do any of the Social Security jobs?
You've been listening to disability attorney Bob Holub explaining the problems of the Social Security disability system and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve at the 2014 annual statewide legal aid conference of Virginia Legal Aid Attorneys. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of disability attorney Bob Holub at the 2014 annual statewide legal aid conference explaining the problems of the Social Security disability system and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve.
Briefly, children's disability has a slightly different scheme. They do see if they're working. They ask that. I had a 12-year-old on Tuesday that the judge asked if he was working. Medical problems. And then if they don't equal listings, they go to these things called, basically, there are these six domains that they use to determine functional ability for children. And again, just to touch on them so that you just have a awareness of them, child disability, again, looks for medical conditions that prevent a child from acquiring and using information. Usually, this is schoolwork. Attending and completing tasks, also schoolwork. Obviously, one that you might be thinking of, ADHD. Those two are the ones that are most impacted by that. Interacting and relating with others, that's peers, teachers, siblings, parents. Moving about and manipulating object, physical ability, caring for yourself, chores, personal care, and overall health and well-being if there's a medical condition that affects other physical and mental problems that aren't captured in the previous five categories, it goes in there. Kids cases are tough. I think that kids cases, the law is stricter, and most of the time you're going to need to have a really serious medical problem or problems to show that a child is disabled under the rules. Most clients, children clients that will come to you will probably be complaining of attention deficits, oppositional defiant disorder, asthma. Those aren't going to cut it. Those problems are usually managed with medication and counseling. Well, the cases I've had are not severe enough to meet what these domains require in the hearings I've had. And to be disabled, you have to have marked or serious limitations. The two are extreme in one. These are the last two types of disability which you might encounter, which are very sad and very difficult to deal with, but you're going to encounter them more and more. Cessation of benefits are when basically someone's been on disability and for some reason they're being stopped. And this is puts a client in a very tough position, and there might be a variety of reasons that you're going to need to draw out initially on why the benefits were stopped. There are basically two reasons, one of which is medical. Either they've sent the client to a medical examiner and the medical examiner said that they're able to work now, they've done a medical review and that person stopped getting treated for the medical problems, they received benefits, or there was work activity that was done or earnings that were earned or household income that was not reported to Social Security and their benefits have stopped. The positive or negative of the cessation notice is that if you appeal within 10 days, the client can receive benefits up until the hearing with the judge. And that can be good and bad. It can keep them going, but if the judge finds them not disabled, then they have to pay the money back. And so you need to advise them of that big risk if they choose to have the benefits continue. If someone has been receiving benefits and then they receive a notice saying, oh, we paid you this money in excess, please pay it back, you can file what's called a waiver of overpayment. And that can range from an easy sort of typographical fix to, you know, needing to have a hearing with a judge and file a brief with the judge on it. The regulations are pretty clear on what you have to do. The art of filing a waiver of overpayment is something that's sort of beyond the scope here today. But if you do it in time and get the information from your client, you can be successful. Those are the types of disability claims and issues that you'll encounter very, very briefly. I wanted to talk about disability with the idea of the functional limitation analysis that you're going to need to keep in mind. One thing that's important to remember for folks who've not done disability work is there's no requirement of total and permanent disability. It differs in things like workers' comp dramatically, but it is individualized. So it's based on that person and that person's set of medical problems and also their work experience. So it's very individual. There needs to be a medically determinable impairment, a diagnosis, and functional limitations. And this is a wrinkle that I think is worth noting just based over the trend of healthcare that a lot of our clients are getting. The statutes are very physician focused, but who sees a physician? Most folks see a nurse or a nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, who are wonderful providers, but their opinion and their medical records are statutorily diminished by Social Security. So this really ties your hands on trying to get medical evidence and supportive statements. If you get a statement from a LCSW for your client's major depressive disorder, that does not go nearly as far under the regulations as one from a PhD or an MD. And it's a shame because most of the time and most of the in-depth treatment that our clients get are from non-MDs who are working in these providers. And again, it all comes down to the limitations from the diagnoses. And this is just more on that. Chiropractors, physician's assistants, occupational therapists, physical therapists are unacceptable to establish what you need to establish. Causation is irrelevant except for drug and alcohol abuse. Injuries received in the commission of a criminal offense, and willful noncompliance with medical treatment without a valid reason. The last one is very rare. Drug and alcohol abuse is all too common, which we'll get to in a minute. Again, if you take one thing away from this, please take this functional limitation. So I'm going to hammer it. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. There are cases which are always lost are almost always due to insufficient documentation of functional limitations because they're rarely well documented in medical records. This has to happen. It may have happened before you got the client. It certainly has to happen once you start representing them. Here are how they're considered by Social Security. They're exertional limitations. It's pretty self-explanatory. Sitting, standing, walking, lifting, carrying, pushing, pulling. Non-exertional are all other work activities, including some physical areas. This is a great way to bolster a case that maybe not have the exertional limitations well documented. You might be able to attack and get more documentation or support for non-exertional limitations. Manipulative hands and mental abilities are very often what makes the case into a winning case if you can get the medical documentations and support. Here are some examples. Need to periodically elevate a lower extremity due to edema, which is swelling, low back pain reduction, or things related to lower extremities.
You've been listening to disability attorney Bob Hollum explaining the problems of the Social Security disability system and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve at the 2014 annual statewide Legal Aid Conference of Virginia Legal Aid Attorneys in the first part of a two-part presentation. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. The show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The Social Security disability system is bad and getting worse. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when disability attorney Bob Hollum explains the problems and how attorneys help claimants overcome them to get the benefits they deserve in the second part of a two-part presentation. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.